Good morning. That's the fourth time, or as we would say in Mexico, buenos dias. And I wasn't aware, estoy bien, gracias. Yes. I wasn't aware that MSC helped out with facilitating short-term missions, so that's a good thing for me to know too, as a missionary who's overseas, because sometimes people come and visit us. One of the elders from a chapel in San Diego was here visiting this week. He and his wife came and visited every Monday and every Thursday while we were at the hospital for 3 months ministering to us. And so we appreciate that. But there are brethren from a lot of different places who encouraged us on the way. And even Phil was one of them. I phoned him one day to sort of give him an update. And he mentioned the Facebook page, and he says, well, as of right now, 1,399 people have read it. It was just put up a few hours before. Oh, sorry, 1,400. And that was a great encouragement to us, because what that communicated to me is at least 1,400 people were praying for our situation. And as Norm mentioned in his prayer this morning, he was praying for people who are facing difficult times. So Westminster, and I'm not sure what happened to the word new, but the Westminster Chapel has people that face difficult times. And all around us, there are people facing difficult times. Last week, a friend of ours sent an email, and she said, my son-in-law went into the hospital or to the doctor because he had a sore back, and it's discovered that he has bone cancer in his spine. Another friend of ours called and said, my husband doesn't love me anymore, and he just left. Another one said, apparently he hasn't loved her for a long time, and he has another family with another woman that was secret for a while. Do things like that happen around where you live? There's a divorce, there's a cancer, there's an illness, there's a car accident. That's all around us, isn't it? And beloved, God is so smart, so intelligent, that when we read the scriptures, we find the same things happening to people in scripture. So if you'd open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel chapter 22. And verse 1 reads, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Verse 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Do you get the idea that David was not having a good day? Probably wasn't having a good week or a good month, or a good year for that matter. But look at verse 30. It says, for by thee I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. And the Lord will bless His word to us this morning. You see, life isn't easy. I remember once a long time ago, and someone mentioned, you know, sometimes we get sick and we're in the hospital, we're in a bed, we're on the couch, because the only way we can look is up. I don't know if that comes exactly quoted from a proverb or something like that in the Bible. I don't believe that I've read that. But it's true. And God, His way is perfect. Paul would say that He works all things together for good. Doesn't say all things are good. But He can work all things together for good. Solomon, he would write, He makes all things beautiful in His time. He's the only God that could take a man disfigured with his face disfigured more than any man and make him into the one who's altogether lovely. And beloved, there's only one that can do that. That's the God of the Bible. And I say this because on January the 20th, of this year, our youngest daughter, Allison, who's 11, she celebrated her 11th birthday in the hospital, had a brain aneurysm. It was a huge brain aneurysm, 15 milliliters. She was one of the worst cases that the hospital had ever seen in their history who survived. But not only did she have a brain aneurysm, she also had swelling in her brain, and she also had bacterial meningitis in her brain. Well, I guess that's sort of a redundant thing, because where else would meningitis be? I didn't mention that she died twice. And it was, as you can probably imagine, and I hope that's all you'd ever have to do is imagine, but with all the cancers and all the difficulties in the world, they happen to us, those difficult times that Norm was praying about. And through it all, we would be crying an awful lot. I wrote in one of our Facebook posts, if you were my friend, you could look back and late January, and you read a post that says, I don't know if I'm drinking water to stay hydrated or if I'm drinking water just to have more tears to cry. But it wasn't only for our daughter. They were, without a doubt, for our daughter and for our family and our situation. For my wife, who didn't take it very well, and every now and then she still doesn't take it very well, even though Allison is much better. But the Lord switched us from an itinerant ministry going up and down the Baja, sometimes to San Diego, sometimes to Los Angeles, doing discipleship work and camp work and doing conference speaking, Bible teaching like we're doing right now, which is often a very comfortable thing. Because, as the saying would go, we're preaching to the choir for the most part. It's not a very hostile environment. I don't shed a whole bunch of tears ministering in a nice building with interested faces. But He switched it from that to ministering at a hospital with a whole lot of other people who are suffering. I remember meeting a fellow on the first day. His name is Martin, and his baby was there. And Martin was a believer. I found out later that we'd been praying already for him and his wife Sylvia, because their nephew attended our assembly. And I was praying with Martin and Sylvia. And on the second day, we were in the hospital. Well, I should tell you this other story first. I asked, because their baby had been there a little longer than ours, Where's this baby's parents? Because there was another baby there that was born without a palate. They said, those people don't have enough money even to come visit. They don't even have the money for bus fare. And the Lord put upon our heart, and I emphasize the Lord did it, to give him a gift. And I said, well, don't you miss tomorrow. They came the next day. They entered in at visiting hours at 11 till 12 like the rest of us. But they didn't leave at noon. They were with their baby till 8 o'clock in the night. When he came down crying. Their baby died. But the Lord allowed us to minister to Martine and Sylvia. Just by being there. Normally, I don't give away a whole lot of money. But the Lord said, give them some money so they could spend the last 9 hours with their daughter. And the Lord did this countless times. I don't know how many people we ministered to. We were there 6 weeks and we had never gone to a bank machine. Never going to a bank machine would, imagine you, 6 weeks without going to a bank machine. Would that work very well? Or without using your debit card at the store or your credit card? Doing things cash. Buying $500 of medication a day for cash because the hospital didn't have that medication. And the Lord allowed us to not only provide for Allison's medications, but for the medications of a lot of other people whose children were in the hospital. And we never went to a bank machine for 6 weeks until they said, we're going to put a shunt in her back to help drain the fluid that's on her brain. And that's a $3,500 Canadian device that we want to put in. And so I went to the bank machine and we had that money in the bank. And then for some strange reason, the hospital said, well, you know what? We're going to pick up that tab. That just doesn't happen. We had a neurosurgeon who didn't charge us. The one who saved Allison's life for the third time and the fourth time. She didn't quite die on those occasions, but he was there. The Lord sent to us the best neurosurgeon in all of Mexicali. Some had suggested we take her to a private hospital so we get the best neurosurgeon in Mexicali, but we didn't think we had enough money for that. That's sort of a hard dilemma to face. But the Lord sent the best neurosurgeon. And strangely enough, the public hospital has the best surgical facilities in Mexicali at this point, even better than the private hospitals. And the Lord had us there ministering to different people, and he didn't change the circumstance very much. There were 6 weeks when I didn't know if we were planning a funeral that night or not. It's not like Canada where next week we're going to have the burial, it's the next day. And we didn't know. It was sort of like living on pins and needles, we'd say. But you know, beloved, what the Lord did is what we're reading right here. It says, the Lord makes my feet like hinds' feet. And you'll notice at the beginning of what we're reading, when he escaped from Saul, he was in this place called En-Gedi. En means spring, Gedi means goat, the spring of the goat. And it's coming down the Judean wilderness down the backside towards the Dead Sea, where it's dropping from 7,000 feet to 1,200 feet below sea level. And that's where En-Gedi is, an oasis in the middle of nothing. And at this oasis, there are some animals called ibex. It belongs to the goat family. We might think of a mountain sheep or a mountain goat here in British Columbia. And have you ever seen where mountain sheep and mountain goats live? on the side of a mountain. Now maybe Phil and Marilyn, well, they're getting to know what mountains look like with all their trips coming back west. But in the east, Easterners don't know what mountains are. They call them mountains, but they're really sort of, you know, just Burnaby Mountain is a mountain to them. But here, when we have the Rocky Mountains, and we see the mountain sheep or the mountain goat on the side, or maybe we've driven up through the Fraser Canyon, and we see how it comes up out of the Fraser River on either side going up. And that's where the mountain sheep and the mountain goat live. And you know, it's very rare that they slip. It's very rare that they fall. Because they have special pads on the bottom of their feet that are very hard, like leather. Very durable, but they're soft. And they don't make any noise. And even though they're on the side of this dangerous precipice, there they are, functioning like they're supposed to function. God didn't change David's circumstances. But David gives the testimony, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet." The circumstance is the same, but he changed the way I walk. He changed the way my feet are. And beloved, do we do that? Because I confess to you that I'm a full-time worker, and I usually don't pray like that. We usually pray, "Take the burden away," don't we? I confessed this yesterday morning. I've confessed it probably a lot of times. But when Allison was in the hospital, the father of the boy next to her in ICU got saved. And in my selfishness, I thought, because, you know, theoretically, the Lord has a purpose behind everything. Well, he got saved. Let's go home now. It's time to lift her up out of her coma and take her home. But that's not what the Lord did. He kept the circumstance the same. But he changed our feet. And he made our feet like hinds' feet. And we walked through, as the psalmist someone was praying this morning, through the valley of the shadow of death. We were walking. Literally, Allison died twice. And you know, his hand held us. It'd be sort of strange if I said we're walking through deep waters, because where we live it rains like once every 12 months or 18 months. It doesn't rain a whole lot. It's a desert where 45 is the common temperature in the shade during the summer. But as we walk through those deep waters, you know who pulled us along? The Lord. And who is God? Save the Lord, we're reading. And beloved, it's the absolute truth. The Lord had been preparing us for a long time. We were singing, "Make Me a Servant." Channels only, blessed Savior. You remember those songs we were just singing? At our home chapel in Prince George, when we walk out the door, it says, "You're now entering the mission field." Beloved, in our neighborhoods, there are people with difficulties. Norm was just praying that. We have loved ones who are sick. We have loved ones who are unsaved. We have loved ones who have walked away from the Lord. We have friends and neighbors and loved ones going through divorce and upheavals in their lives. And he calls upon you and I to be out in that mission field, around where we work, where we go to school, where we live, where we shop, where we eat, where we buy fuel. To be that lighthouse shining in the darkness. To encourage those around us, because we only want to be channels. Channels where the blessing of God flows to others. Servants, serving those who are far away from God. Or maybe they're close to God, but they feel abandoned. Even our Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he gives us this wonderful ministry as he changes our feet to hinds feet, to be an En Gedi in the desert, to let them drink from the fountain of living water, which many have exchanged for broken cisterns, Isaiah wrote. It'd be kind of yucky drinking from the fountain of living water and then going to a mud puddle on the side of the road in New Westminster and start drinking that. But beloved, that's what people around us are doing. And he gives us the opportunity to be an En Gedi in this world around us that's hurting so much. The Lord changed our ministry drastically. I think he's changed the way I preach quite a bit. You can ask Clay. He's probably the only one here who's ever heard me preach before. Maybe Duncan has. I'm not sure. But I haven't seen Duncan for a long time. So when he heard me, I was... he changes things. And he makes everything beautiful in his time. Allison left the hospital. She couldn't even hold her head up. She couldn't sit. She couldn't control her bowel movements. And this morning, Marilyn was taking a picture of her walking down the stairs all by herself, without playing catch-up. She was walking down. She's come a long way in the last 5 months. She still hasn't got her sight back. The doctors say there's zero chance she'll ever see again. But you know, since August, she started to see things in the periphery of her right eye. And just recently, every now and then, she gets a little bit of light perception in her left eye. And we keep praying for her. And we keep ministering to the nurses and the doctors that we come in contact with and trying to be a lighthouse for Jesus in a dark medical field that doesn't believe that there is a God behind the wonderful creation that can't give hope to a dying world. The Lord bless you.